just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast as we move deep into our seventh season. Thanks also to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group. Remember, you can email me your personal fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Just going to do one this week. It's a preview of the three Thursday games on Thanksgiving Day. Hope everyone has an enjoyable holiday and, from a fantasy standpoint, a productive one, getting you off to a fast start in your games as we look ahead to week 12. All right, so let's start with the early game being Lions-Bills, and Jamal Williams continues to be a very solid every week RB1 start, even with the return of DeAndre Swift, and Swift scored a touchdown in the Lions' victory against the New York Giants, but Jamal Williams out-touched him basically 3-1, 17 carries, 64 yards, 3 touchdowns for Jamal Williams. So if you have had him, that has been one of the more pleasant surprises in terms of how that has worked out. And as much as I don't believe in the coaching staff of the Detroit Lions, I don't put a lot of stock into their most recent victory against the New York Giants. Jamal Williams is someone who is going to continue to get a significant share of touches as it relates to the Lions offense, and he stays in your lineup. And at this point, he's been a very valuable performer for you for quite some time now. As far as Amon-Ra St. Brown, really, that's the only other name. I mean, DeAndre Swift owners who've been hanging in there with him. Yeah, he got you. I think he caught one ball. No, he caught three balls, but only for 12 yards. So with that 32 yards of tandem offense, the one touchdown, just under double digits. You know, you're saying, well, what do I do against the Bills? It's more Swift against Williams at this point, because Williams is the more productive back. It's going to leave less opportunities for DeAndre Swift. You know, I guess if you played him last week, you're playing him again this week. But this isn't about the opponent. This is about the situation and how Swift simply has been outperformed by Williams at the running back position. Return of Amon-Ra St. Brown, okay, after a very productive week in week 10. You like the 7 receptions, 76 yards. I mean, that's nearly 11 yards per catch. Didn't get in the end zone. So really, look, he didn't get you double-digit points, but that's still a very involved game as it relates to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and no reason you wouldn't start him for week 12. All right, let's go to Buffalo as it relates to their opponent. Speaking of running backs, very steady production for Devin Singletary. Another good game in the game in Detroit against the Browns. If you own Singletary, you're just going to keep running him out there. I wish I owned him. Even though Cook had a productive game, that was someone that a lot of people, including me, thought by this point in the season would be sort of the feature back for the Bills. It never happened. I mean, they didn't give up on him, but at this point, it's Singletary, and then they mix Cook in a little bit. But Singletary is, you know, he's a, I don't know, low-end RB2, definitely a flex play on a weekly basis, and I certainly think you can keep playing him as you look ahead to Thursday. It wasn't a great game for Josh Allen, but you're going to have those because he puts up so many really, really good games. You're just thrilled based on what happened a couple of weeks ago. that he's been out there for every play the last 2 weeks. That's what you have to be thankful for as we head to Thanksgiving. Gabe Davis is in your lineup. Stephon Diggs is in your lineup. And for those of you playing in outdated 20th century mandatory tight end starting leagues, Knox is certainly in your lineup as well. Tyler Bass starting to come on a little bit. Always felt good about him as a fantasy kicker, like a top, at least top 10, if not better, and off a productive game going back to last week. Let's move to the afternoon game in Dallas with Cowboys, Giants, and the Jonas Brothers. It's BB Rexha, by the way, in the early game in Detroit. From the Dallas standpoint, Tony Pollard doing everything Jamal Williams is doing. I mean, it seems to be a theme of this podcast as we look ahead to Thursday games. But Ezekiel Elliott actually looked very good early in the game, but Pollard made a huge play. I think that was at the beginning, right, of the second half when Dallas sort of came out and said, nah, we're not giving this game away like we gave away the Green Bay game. I think they went into halftime angry based on the late, very, very late review of the completion to CeeDee Lamb that set up the 60-yard field goal attempt by Brett Maher that he made twice. They came out angry. Very well-designed play to isolate Pollard one-on-one with a linebacker who couldn't keep up with him. And once Pollard got by him, he was gone. There was no one else to catch him. So interesting theme here, right? We've talked about three running backs primarily as we look ahead to Thanksgiving Day games. None of these were running backs that you took early in your fantasy drafts going back to August and Labor Day weekend. We're talking about Jamal Williams, Devin Singletary, and Tony Pollard. Pollard was probably drafted. I mean, I considered drafting him in either of my leagues. In the end, I did not. He went a little higher. I thought I could get a value on him. I didn't. There was a time about a month or so ago I tried to trade for him. I couldn't. Wish I owned him. Obviously, he's as much of a set it and forget it for right now in your starting lineup as Jamal Williams is in terms of returning RB1 points. But Ezekiel Elliott is in your lineup. He got a couple of rushing touchdowns. Important that he got those short yardage red zone touches and scored on both of them fairly easily. One just leaping over and in to a pile, and the other spinning off and walking in to the end zone. Good sign for Elliott. He seemed to be refreshed after missing a few weeks. Cowboys bye week was in there and he was injured, but there was burst there as it relates to Elliott. Lamb continues to be in your lineups, basically as a wide receiver two type guy. Dalton Schultz, this was a game where some were plugging and playing Dalton Schultz. He just doesn't seem to be delivering consistently. It's been a very frustrating year for people who have tried to run with Dalton Schultz. Even I have attempted to use him as a wide receiver tight end flex in some situations in one of my leagues, and he was in and out due to injury. At least he's healthy right now. Dak tried to find him on at least one play in the red zone, didn't connect with him. And Brett Maher, obviously, has become one of the top kickers in fantasy football. Giants, you just got to write that one off, kind of like the Eagles did the previous week, as not our day against the Lions. Giants are better than that. Barkley got game flowed out of the game. From a fantasy standpoint, wasn't an awful game for Daniel Jones. If you're still trying to get by with Daniel Jones, and it's erratic, but he's sort of a low-end QB1 at this point because of the rushing yards. And he's had some bad games, but he's had some really, really good fantasy games as well. Just as he was building a rapport with Wandale Robinson, comes the report Robinson injured and out for the year. That puts more value on Slayton, but that's unfortunate for Robinson and for Daniel Jones, as they finally had a good game together. And then Robinson injured, and I think that's the last we see of him all year. Graham Gano, and I actually have used him the last couple of weeks. He was on the injury report, and then it was like, well, he's going to give it a go. And normally you think that's fine. Clearly he was bothered. I didn't watch the two kicks, but he missed two extra points and was actually a minus in my fantasy leagues and perhaps some others that penalize for missed extra points. I would keep checking status on Gano this week. I don't think they're going to trot him out there again in Dallas if he's not 100% after what happened against the Lions. Clearly, he just wasn't fit to go. Okay, so the late game is... Sorry, I forgot who the Vikings were playing. Oh, they're playing the Patriots. Okay, well, the Patriots, easy. Not much has changed after the very cold, windy game where it was 3-3 and the only touchdown is a punt return, reminiscent of what DeSean Jackson did to the Giants a number of years ago, and then the Patriots do it to the Jets on the second, basically the second to last play of the game for the only touchdown of the game. You know it's windy when Nick Folk misses more than he makes in terms of field goals. Zuerlein was only out there once. He made his, and that was pretty much it. I am not a believer, and you know I've not been a believer in Zach Wilson, but we'll save the Jets conversation for the next podcast because we're only talking about the three Thursday games in this one as relates to the Patriots. Mac Jones had an efficient game. Let's just call it that, efficient. He's still not fantasy worthy in terms of a starter, but for those of you that had a chip on Jacoby Myers, you can probably go with that in this particular game. If you need a flex play or a wide receiver three type play, Ramondre's workload was impacted by a healthy Damian Harris for owners invested in him like me. I didn't love that, but still, Ramondre touched the ball 21 times. And considering the conditions, he put up, 82 yards. Nobody got in the end zone, so I can't hold it against him. But Damian Harris, 8 carries for 65 yards. Jacoby Myers was 4 for 52. Harris caught 2 balls for 28. Damian Harris might be sneaking back into flex play conversation, but don't overthink sitting Ramondre. You're keeping him in the lineup. And I think if you played Myers last week, you play him again this week because New England will be in a dome. And the same goes for Nick Folk getting dome conditions. Vikings just got to write off what happened last week, although on a big stage with a big national audience, even CBS dumped out of the game nationally. Kirk Cousins came up small. 1 week after the Vikings won the, quote, game of the year against the Bills, they had nothing for the Dallas Cowboys. Nothing. You know, Kirk Cousins has been sort of a fringe QB1. I think you can do better than him this week against Belichick and the Patriots. Justin Jefferson will bounce back. Dalvin Cook should bounce back. It depends on what Parcells wants to take away. Does he want to take away Jefferson or does he want to take away Dalvin Cook? My guess is it might be more Cook saying, well, you know, yeah, if we force them to just throw, and Cook can't run the ball like he couldn't against Dallas or was game flowed out of the game. That's just my guess, but you're still playing Dalvin Cook, and you're still obviously playing Justin Jefferson. You just got to write off last week. And TJ Hockenson, you can tell the Vikings want to get him the football. So Hockenson does have some value. He's one of the handful of tight ends that actually have wide receiver tight end flex fantasy value. At this point, nobody's in Travis Kelce's league, considering what he did in the Sunday night game with the 3 touchdowns. All right, so this is probably the only one I will get you this week because it's the holiday week. So if you do have individual questions, fantasy questions, as you look ahead to Sunday, get them to me this week. As late as Friday or Saturday, I will respond, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, but I won't be giving you a game-by-game preview of Sunday and Monday games this week because of the holiday. Thanks to Hooters again for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, as well as Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group. Happy Thanksgiving.